Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Doug Hagman and with me when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Doug Hagman with us. We're going to take your calls in just a second. Doug, in terms of placement of these two devices that went off, could it have been done in a sophisticated way, you know, detonated by like a cell phone, or were these just, you know, slow fuses? Somebody just dropped them in the trash can and walked on?
The information we have, and I feel pretty strongly that this is the correct information. Again, you know, the first reports are usually wrong, but this information I've gotten from three different sources. It would appear that the devices were remotely detonated, most likely through the use of a radio frequency. That means a cell phone type of device. So that would suggest some level of at least triggering sophistication.
Yes.
So that's what we have. I feel pretty confident about that, rather than, you know, a cartoonish, in my mind, you know, looking at somebody lighting a fuse and then putting it in a garbage can. No, especially considering the placement 50 to 100 yards apart, close to the camera, close to the finish lane, concealed well enough not to be noticed right away, and the timing too. They went off within a very, very short period of time within one another, within, you know, each other. So that would suggest to me a mechanical detonation.
Well, then there's a little sophistication there.
Yes, indeed.
Can you find, I'm not saying anything that they don't already know, so I'll just say it. Can you find instructions to make these things on the internet?
Interesting you should ask, yes. In English, Arabic, and just about any language you would want. And now we've seen, right after 2001, we saw a lot of Arabic language websites that that had these triggering devices in using cell phones. And as a matter of fact, if you recall, several years ago, there was this rush to purchase and ship overseas cell phones, track phones, what have you. And even in Iraq and Afghanistan, they have found that these cell phones were used as detonation devices.
Can you buy detonation devices online? I don't know. I never looked.
No. No, not easily. I mean, no. The short answer to that is no. There are exceptions. When you say detonation devices, commercial purposes, mining purposes, that type of thing, certainly you would have to go through a long process. No, you really can't do this on the internet.
We
buy them.
We caught Timothy McVeigh, Terry Nichols in very strange ways. One was like McVeigh didn't have a license plate on his car or something like that. Got stopped by a trooper. I mean, this one doesn't seem to have any luck involved at all.
Well, once again, I'm hesitant to say that we don't know yet exactly what they have. They're playing this pretty close to their vest.
I don't know if they know what they have yet.
Well, true. Certainly, in this case, we're not seeing, and it's a good thing, too, in a lot of respects. We're not seeing a transparent investigation because I've worked investigations, and certainly I don't want my work product shown, especially if it's valuable to the outcome of an investigation. You don't want it plastered all over the television, and especially if you have an idea of who did what and you're putting things together. And this especially is especially important when you are dealing with a crime of this magnitude. And I say crime as opposed to terrorist event because of the police.
I agree. This is murder.
Well, of course it is. Yes. On a mass scale, it is.
Let's go to some calls. Let's go to Bill in Tampa, Florida to get us started here. Bill, you're on with Doug Hagman on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I enjoy your program. Been listening for years and years, and it's really sad to talk to you on a night like this.
Yes.
But I have a couple of comments and a question for Doug. One is that his picture of the Boston Common Square there kind of reminds you of the rather infamous grassy knoll down in Dallas. which is kind of interesting. And if you want to get conspiratorial, remember the congressman that just went down to the border and found the stair steps and the stair rails just letting people come across the border. So who knows what about Hamas, Hezbollah, whoever could have brought across in terms of, I think Doug said something about personnel mines or something, and the reports, some of the reports said that there were ball bearings in these IEDs. The other thing is I heard a comment, this is not mine, this is from somebody else, said that this is probably a low-tech IED because there was a lot of black smoke, a lot of powder, and it seemed like that if it had been a sophisticated explosive, there would have been a lot more explosive force out toward the street rather than up through what was apparently the garbage can. And one more item, and that is that someone called in and said that in Boston, they have those eco-green disposable things that are supposed to grind up and chew up whatever it is you throw into them and compact them in the bottom. So would you comment on some of those things for me?
Well, from the beginning, the grassy knoll, I just find that interesting in and of itself. The second thing is the placement of the devices. I am not 100% certain that we can say with certainty that they were placed inside any type of receptacles whatsoever. Therefore, to talk about where the blast and how the blast could be would be premature. I do believe that your definition of your mentioning of an IED, simply put, improvised explosive device, by definition, that's exactly what they were, and based on the detonation method that we know of right now, you know, by cell phone, it would appear to me that the most likely thing would, be in backpack type material things, or suitcases, backpacks, what have you, something that would fit in with the area and what people are carrying, and of course it would not look out of place. And I can't see it being placed in a trash receptacle. I know I've seen the reports, but that is yet, those have yet to be vetted.
Somebody had said earlier that there was a report of a all points bulletin for somebody wearing a backpack. Did you hear that one?
Yeah. Oh sure. I don't think there was a bulletin that went out that that we didn't hear or weren't told about that didn't describe someone of. I mean, it ran the gambit of different things. Now a lot of these were found out to be false, of course, at the very end, or after they were investigated. Some are still outstanding. For example, we've got, that gentleman in the image, according to our information, that person was taken into custody and remains in custody. And the reason we know that is because we know that, well, without speaking out of school here, we know where that picture came from. We know where that picture came from, and we know the interaction with the police department at that.
It's a strange picture, though, Doug. I mean, you've got this guy on his knees as if he's been arrested, and there's no police officer looking at him. Did you notice that?
Yes.
It's weird.
If you look at it, you see police in front and in back of him, and the one in back's got an automatic weapon, and of course, it almost appears as if this person is under guard. That was described to me. Of course, this is just one second in time, and you know what happened before and after that is not reflected in the photograph. But once again, according to the information I have, is that person was being guarded at that time, as described by the photographer.
Next hour, during open lines that I'll have with you, we'll talk about hate and why people simply hate. But right now, you've got Douglas Hagman, and we will go to Thomas in Bend, Oregon. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
Well, George, it's an honor. Thank you so much.
Sure thing.
Doug, what I'm understanding here is that you say you investigate, but this is a crime that just happened, like, hours ago. How can we even draw anything at all when there's nothing even factual proof in the pudding? This is another false flag, 9/11, whatever you want to call it. And what really is concerning is that, you know, Obama just signed the executive order just a month and a half ago or so, I guess. Well, man, that kind of ties our hands, gun control. nothing happened there. This is just a training example. I have friends that live there. Now we're going to miss out on our Boston game, you know, because of this. But, you know, what I'm getting to here is that we need to quit running ourselves into the wall with this false flag situation.
Why? But we can't prove it's a false flag, Doug.
I'm not sure that I even intimated that this was a false flag. I said there are some markers that would suggest, or the markers that we've seen, for example, the concurrent drills and such, that people would equate with a false flag. But I certainly never, either by intent or by my words, described this event as a false flag operation during this interview. Now, that said, I'm urging everyone to look at the larger picture here, and without making any assumptions, let's wait for the investigators to do their jobs to investigate what's going on. However, the effects of this are already being seen. We're seeing flights canceled, 1,000 additional officers to guard various prominent locations across the nation, FAA-restricted airspace, cell phone service being shut down, on and on and on. National Guard does, not National Guard, but the police force guarding different locations. So I guess what I'm saying is, from a terrorist point of view, certainly mission accomplished. Was this a false flag? I don't know. Was this, the terrorist event perpetrated by a foreign national? I don't know.
Nobody knows anything yet.
No, of course not.
Maybe the TSA, though, will revoke their 2.36-inch knife ruling, which is going to take effect next week.
Well, they certainly should ban, bombs on airplanes, I suppose, or, you know, at stadiums. But it's not even the proper venue. I don't even want to sound glib about it. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting that we see the TSA relaxing restrictions here.
It's crazy.
And especially at this vulnerable moment in our nation's history, we're seeing things taking place that just don't make a lot of sense.
You know, some things they do overkill. I mean, strip searching little old ladies and little kids and things like that, that's a little ludicrous. But, you know, allowing knives on a plane, I don't care how long they are, you can still inflict bodily damage. What's a pilot going to do when he's locked in his cockpit and some terrorist is screaming through the door, "I'm going to stab every flight attendant you have"? And that's what the flight attendants are concerned about. So, you know, does the pilot open up the plane and say, "All right, we're going to let you go to wherever you want"? Or does he keep the door locked and let this guy stab away until four guys beat him up?
Well, yeah, I can tell you this. There are standards of operation to handle just that type of event. But even to have to discuss the event is a little bit troublesome. You know, yet you cannot take so many ounces onto an airplane? Of
3.5. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. You can tell I haven't flown in a while, so, you know.
I fly too much.
Yeah.
I even have to measure this stuff, but I mean, it's just a lot of flights.
Wow.
Next up, let's go to Dexter in Baltimore, Maryland, east of the Rockies. Dexter, go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Doug. Thank you for having me.
Sure thing.
I used to live in Boston, so this one kind of hits home to me. I was just watching something on the TV that I thought was interesting. I was watching MSNBC, because when something like this happens, depending on what side of the political spectrum, you know, the situation might be on, you know, the cable news will kind of dictate the way the story goes. And so far, MSNBC, I was just watching it. They're the only ones. Rachel Maddow was just on television. I think I was watching the rerun. She had all these reports and statistics about the domestic terror attacks. Not just terror attacks, but domestic terror attacks.
They outnumber the foreign terror attacks.
But even still, when they don't know anything about what happened, why would they jump to that? And the other thing that bothered me was that they were the only network that made a connection with Sandy Hook. They did this whole piece where they were going back and forth showing pictures of people from the marathon and people from Sandy Hook and trying to make a connection between the two.
Let me tell you, Dexter, sometimes the media goes a little too far when they try to string things together, trying to outdo each other and doing as much as they can. So it's not unusual that you would find a venue like that running with all these different possibilities.
And if I may, that's what I was getting to, or that's what I was saying in the first hour. It's interesting how everyone is reporting with an agenda. It seems like we just can't have the facts, but we've got to have this tied, or the motive is already established or is intimated. If you would mention domestic terrorist attack, of course, this happened on Patriots Day. It happened in Boston. There are so many different ways that it is being portrayed, when in fact it's very disingenuous to go and disrespectful, in my view, to the injured and to those killed and the families of those injured and killed to do this. Now, the caller did mention a connection to Sandy Hook. The only thing that I saw that was able to verify was that there was a stand of families of Sandy Hook members that were close by to the explosions, which was rather, it's newsworthy, and it should be reported, but to make a leap between Sandy Hook and this incident would certainly be out of line.
Two sad different episodes.
Indeed.
But way too many. Way too many, indeed. Let's go to Lady in Alaska, then we'll take a break and come back. Lady, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, George.
Hi.
Being that this is going to be the 20th year anniversary of Waco, April 19th, maybe you could get us some people that survived that. That would be an interesting program.
Well, and you never know if there's any connection with some frustrated person about that, Doug.
No, I'm just saying, it was 20 years ago. It's the,
but maybe this,
call an anniversary.
But maybe this crazed bomber, whoever it may be, maybe he thinks about it.
All done beat up and down in the dirt. Yeah. My question is, how come when they had that exercise going for the bombs, how come they had dogs in the area, the core area? How come them dogs never alerted on that stuff? And also up here on the 6:50 a.m. when they was giving us the update, they said that that Barack was interrupted. He had a diplomatic meeting. What diplomats was he meeting with when that was going on?
Well, I don't think that's a case or a big issue. I mean, I'd rather be meeting with a diplomat than being in a schoolroom of kids in Florida.
It's a good point. And to the question about the dogs, it's interesting that the dogs were present and they did not pick up the scent or light up on anything. Now, what we don't know exactly where the dogs were at any given time.
Right, they could. I'm not sure they were even near that location. We'll come back. Final calls with Doug Hagman on Coast to Coast AM. Beyond Belief is our television program, and I'd love for you to watch it 10 days free and take a look at the expanded, incredible videos. And on Friday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, investigative mythologist William Henry joins us on Beyond Belief, and he has some startling things to say. You can get all that by going to our website, click hosts at the top, and then the TV icon opens up. Fill out the information, 10 days free. So what happens tomorrow morning, Douglas Hagman, out there in Boston? What do investigators do? What's the process?
Well, I'll tell you what, the process is it began the moment that the bombs, the devices went off, but there's the collection of evidence. There's the interview of witnesses and the survivors and the review of security tapes. There's so much work to do. I mean, this is such a labor-intensive process that it only stands to reason that we need to give the investigators the benefit of the time to get the job done and done right, done properly. You've got also the analyzing of the parts of the bombs that were detonated, and it's my understanding that one of the devices that did not go off, you're going to have just a tremendous amount of analysis done on that. Of course, all of the forensics that's involved, The blast patterns are going to be measured, and that's just for starters. I mean, and then, of course, the interagency cooperation that is going to be required to do all of this is just going to be tremendous. So, you know, you're looking at literally months, in my view, of investigation. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to be closed down for a month, more months there. But it's a pretty lengthy process and pretty involved and pretty in-depth, especially when you're dealing with something of this magnitude.
Okay, to the phones we go. Once again, let us go to Marion, North Carolina. It's Roy's turn. Roy, go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Roy.
Hey, the caller two before the break, it was a big deal. The last mile of that Boston Marathon, the premier marathon in the world, was dedicated to the Newtown families.
Right.
That's why I was mentioned on the news. My God. The families were in the stands right there.
Any
of them.
Some of them were even in the race, weren't they?
Yes, in the race, in the stands. Going, they were supposed to be going by right then. This is the second Boston massacre. There was no plastic explosives or dynamite. They know that. It was probably gunpowder from ammo, maybe with a timer. Our right-wing gun freaks in this country have caused a worldwide shortage of brass. Stockpiling ammo, about $20 billion a year, would have been easy for any of these guys to empty a lot of bullets out of gunpowder. Here's another thing, a connection, I'll be done. A lot of crazy atrocities have been going on in the Southwest, one after another, law enforcement murdered by the Aryan Brotherhood, all culminating in maybe the most bizarre public murder this weekend at the NRA car race. A man got in an argument and supposedly shot himself, ruled a suicide. Let me tell you guys and your listeners, please hope that this wasn't the Texans, Southwestern, big bad boys on the right wing. Better hope it was not one of their boys, because any Massachusetts schoolgirl can take care of any 10 fat neo-Nazis. That's about all I got to say.
Well, you said it all, I think. A lot of people upset out there, Doug. There's a lot of tension. Can you feel it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, in the multi-dimensional chess game that is taking place here, look, we've got our government that has turned its significant security apparatus on us. We've got media that's bombarding us 24/7 with, once again, different agendas. And you can hear it in your callers' voices. I mean, they're either, you know, extremely pro-right or extremely pro-left, if you talk about a political division, or extremely conservative or extremely progressive, if you talk about a ideological division. But see, and I sense that this country has never been as divided as it is today, ideologically. And then you've got your societal division, the haves versus the have-nots, the political divisions. And all of these are working against one another, or in perhaps even in synchronicity to exacerbate an already vulnerable nation. And I think that it's evident by the callers, whether it's your show or other shows, you hear this, and it's just this inherent rage. And, you know, I just think we have to just take a deep breath, take a few steps back, and just let's evaluate. Let's let people do their jobs, and let's evaluate before we make any definitive decisions as to who's responsible. We're not even there yet. And I think it's very important to maintain a sensible, a very even level of when you're dealing with such an emotional topic like this.
Let's go to Marcus, Livonia, Michigan. Marcus, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, good evening. Great show as usual. Thank you for taking my call. A couple of items. Just after the blast occurred, there was an editorial on the website, The Truth About Guns, asking if this is going to be used to try and restrict reloading components, gunpowder and the like. The reason I bring that up is I heard a report just once claiming that there were no traces of residue that would indicate a military-type component, explosive. When you look at the blast, it looks like a Civil War battlefield, which makes me think it was black powder or something along that line. So could this be another attempt to strangle the Second Amendment and infringe on our gun rights? Also, one other thing, the previous caller, I don't know what news he's watching, probably Piers Morgan, but he's referring to extreme right-wing and Aryan nations murdering cops. If he's referring to the assistant DA and his wife who was murdered, that has been confirmed to be a disgruntled employee that was fired by them.
Who was one of those members, though? Wasn't he?
No. He was a civil servant working in the DA's office, and they fired him. I can't recall the reason. I think either stealing money from petty cash or some silly thing.
Go ahead, Doug.
Well, no. I think the caller brings up an interesting point that you're going to have an element of this society that's going to exploit any tragedy, whether it was Sandy Hook, whether it's this, or regardless of what it is. The agenda is there. They're going to use this as a springboard for whatever their particular agenda might be. If it's gun control, it's going to be that. If it's, you know, whatever. So I think we have to understand that we have to look at those efforts as transparent and look at them for what they are. Those are only serving to further divide our country. I can't see any benefit, anything good coming from that type of inflammatory rhetoric at this point. Now, you know, if it turns out to be somebody, I'm not even going to go there, but I guess we just have to really use our senses and just, like I said, take a few steps back, take a few deep breaths, and let's find out once we know the facts.
So many different stories out there. So many different stories out there. Okay, let's go now to Sonny in Bloomington, Illinois. Go ahead, Sonny.
Yeah.
Sonny, I can't get you. Quality's bad. Ben, truck driving in Nevada, though, let's take you. Go ahead, Ben.
George and Doug, it's nice to talk to you under these sad circumstances. My hearts and prayers are with all the people we lost, the victims, and unfortunately the thousands who had to witness this terrible thing. Doug, did you happen to hear the phone call that George played at the beginning of the show? The man who called in said his wife had a dream of dirty bombs in Boston around April 16th.
Yes, I did, caller.
Okay. And, you know, this is different than the other callers calling in, but the fact is I can envision a world where we possibly won't have these things happen if some great minds listening to this could make up some kind of app or place on the internet for psychics, people with premonitions, you know, anybody to come on and say what they're seeing, what they're feeling. Because I can imagine in the days before this happened, there's been a lot of people with a lot of gut feelings, with a lot of visions, dreams, things happening. I mean, I talked to a couple of my friends. One of them had a dream that she was sitting in the White House for an impromptu speech by the president. And then another friend of mine was just really, really sick and couldn't leave the house. And she's never been sick like this before. You know, I don't know if there's any sites like this right now, George, but can you imagine if the public starts noticing that these predictions people are making come true, and then all of a sudden the authorities and the media starts noticing it, and then the criminals start noticing, hey, we're going to get caught whether we try our hardest, you know, because there's these people seeing these things happening, you know, and what chance do we have of, you know, getting off scot-free? You know, if there's someone who can see the face of a killer, someone who can see the face of a terrorist, then another person saying, well, I feel like something's going to happen right here in Boston, you know. So I've watched these psychic shows, and some psychics have different pieces, and some have other pieces, and if we all come together in this manner, you know, on a social network or something like that, just dedicated, you know, to that topic, just imagine what it could do. You know, I guess I'll end it there and listen to you guys on air. Thank you.
Well, there's no question. People are tuned in psychically, and you never know what they might be able to come across.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a central clearing spot for them, but who knows? Doug, this bombing seems to have been void of a suicide attempt. Would that be strange for someone who might be a foreign terrorist?
Well, no, I don't think you can. We can make that distinction because there have been plenty of bombings. We could use, for example, Israel and areas around Israel as examples where the uses of IEDs, remote detonation devices, or devices that have been remotely detonated, are prolific. So
suicide's not always part of the equation.
No, not at all. Not necessarily, no.
Next up, we go west. Tom in Riverside, California. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Doug.
Hey.
I'd like to, recently I got a hold of a tape. I don't know if you're familiar with them, the 9/11 Truth Architects and Engineers.
Sure. We've had them on the show. We've had them on the show, too.
Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't catch that one, but I wanted to ask, what do you think the credibility of an investigation from coming from me, I don't trust government at all. From early on, from the Kennedy assassination, even Joe McCarthy, I think, had a couple points that I think he was kind of character assassinated. But it seems all that fits together, and our country has been heavily divided, like you said, and it's been immigration is just been overwhelming from everywhere, and more than it should be. It's gotten out of hand. We've got people running through this country doing all kinds of things. Anybody that picks up the paper would know that. But I wanted to say what is the credibility. If looking at the 9/11, that tape, looking at those buildings come down, free fall, I just, it convinced me, you know, and I think if they're willing to, if that is true, and I never gave it much credibility here until recently looking at those, it kind of convinced me that it's got a lot of credibility, I think, and what's going on with that? That investigation's been going on for years, and nothing's came of it.
No.
What's your take on that?
That will never, ever have an open book again. Doug, I think 9/11, that's a closed book, don't you?
Well, I don't know about it being a closed book.
In terms of any government investigation.
Oh yes, yes. I find it very interesting because the caller did bring up the architects and engineers. As you know, I've interviewed Richard Gage. I've interviewed, as a matter of fact, Dr. Judy Wood from Where Did
Yep, Our Go? She believes it was a pulse weapon knocked in.
Right. And if you look at the, once again, the totality of evidence, and then you look at the 9/11 Commission itself, the Keene Commission, where I think three-quarters of the members themselves came out and said, look, we're not really, you know, independently, well, I'm not totally convinced of our findings, or I'm not comfortable with our findings as presented within the commission. So, you know, again, we've seen the template, we've seen the markers. I think as we started out the broadcast by saying, you know, we're not wrong to be a bit gun-shy with the official narratives, the official stories, the official accounts by the government. So therefore, you know, let's not take everything off of the table, and let's look at this, you know, through the context of all angles, and perhaps, you know, having been gamed and conned in the past by the government from the Kennedy assassination forward. I think, once again, it's not wrong to take a look at it this way, to question, reasonably question, the official accounts, but the evidence has to match the accusations, or the evidence has to match the assertions.
And I think how come government can't just tell us the truth? Now, we might not like the truth, but why can't they simply say something like, okay, we're in Iraq because we want the oil and we need to protect you and the country with natural resources, so we're there. Or, you know, yeah, we went into Afghanistan to try to get bin Laden, but we need a pipeline through the, I mean, so we may not appreciate what they're doing, but at least they'd be telling us the truth.
Well, and therein lies the issue. If I've heard some say, look, you know, you can't handle the truth from the old movie, but the fact of the matter is, perhaps we could, and maybe it would be a refreshing breath of fresh air to get the truth. But you know, when we're constantly lied to, and we suddenly wake up and realize that the official stories have been lies, or we're living a lie. Then it's difficult to take, and I think that there are so many seriously evil agendas, and I do believe, George, more so now than I've ever done before, that there is a global cabal of globalists.
There's no question about that.
Right. So, looking at it, you know, in a logical manner, not hypersensitivity, you know, not with hypersensitivity or hyperbole, but looking at it without that. If that's the case, and I believe it to be true, then what's the end game? What's the ultimate objective? And does that objective require some level of covert, you know, activities? And I think it does. And I think, you know, we are in, once again, I believe we're in the end stages of a plan that was set in motion generations, if not hundreds of years ago. And that's the way I look at things.
Let's go to first-time caller, Tim, in Racine, Wisconsin. Squeeze you in real fast, Tim. Only got about 40 seconds.
I understand that. You know what? It seems like people tend to let it be known. I know it's a little soon, but it seems like people let it be known who is involved. You know, they seem to want to let themselves be known who they are.
Not this case.
I understand. Yeah. And also, it seems that the powder blasts do look a little strange, but what my main point is, and I want to get this across fast, is that today is April 15th, tax day. Interesting how it's Boston. Hello, do we remember? As a matter of fact, I think it's an anniversary.
Well, it's
Boston,
yeah.
Tea Party.
Yes, and Patriot Day, and so it could have a lot of those ramifications, Doug. We may not ever find out, but Douglas, keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right, Douglas Hagman, his website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Because we're changing the programming for tonight, Len Kasten has been rescheduled for next Monday as he talks about the incredible story of Project Serpo. I will be back with some open lines, let you get your reaction to today's tragic events. And also, I'd like you to talk about hate. Why do people hate so much? Shh.